Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, March 11th, 2026. We begin on the front page from the Ford County Treasurer's Office with sadness and emotional exhaustion. Newly widowed Krisha Whitcomb resigns as Ford County Treasurer effective Friday, April 10th. Paxton. Ford County Treasurer Krisha Whitcomb submitted her letter of resignation last Wednesday, effective April 10th. With sadness and emotional exhaustion, she said in an email to county board members, fellow department heads, and co-workers. The news came about 5 months after the unexpected death of Whitcomb's husband, Doug McCoy, in late September, amid questions and concerns raised by residents about her extended absences from her courthouse office since then. Whitcomb did not seek a third four-year term as treasurer in the upcoming election, where only one candidate is vying for the post, Whitcomb's deputy clerk, Taylor Burnett. Burnett, a Paxton native with 10 years of experience in the banking industry before joining the staff of the treasurer's office last June, said she is interested in being appointed to fill the treasurer's position in an interim basis through the end of Whitcomb's term on November 30th. An appointment is expected during the county board's next meeting on Monday, April 13th, according to the board's chairman, Chase McCall of Gibson City. McCall said he is thankful for Whitcomb's 8 years of service as an elected official. I personally appreciate Krisha's work in the treasurer's office over the last 8 years, McCall said. She certainly transformed her office into a more effective and efficient. We appreciate everything she's done for Ford County. We'll miss her, and we wish her nothing but the best for the future. In her email announcing her resignation, which she forwarded to the Ford County Chronicle, Whitcomb noted that when she decided she would not seek a third term, it was a priority for me to have a smooth transition plan, as we have all witnessed how stressful and expensive office transitions can be if there is no plan in place. Chief Deputy Mandy Mull, Taylor Burnett, and I have been working tirelessly to ensure a smooth transition for the past 9 months, and I have full confidence that they will continue to demonstrate professionalism and respect while handling the daily tasks of the office, said Whitcomb, adding that she plans to use the next month of work to finish up the off-season projects and prepare the office as we enter the tax collection cycle. Whitcomb, a Paxton native, said she has appreciated the support of her co-workers over the last 8 years. On a personal note, I'd like to thank the majority of you that have been supportive in the past 8 years, especially the past 6 months, Whitcomb said in her email. It has been an honor to work beside you. Please continue to rise above the toxicity and that the others bring to the workplace and serve the taxpayers of Ford County. Oh, how I wish I had the energy to battle with you, but it has truly been a privilege to work with you. For the others, if you are ever unfortunately called to become a member of the Widows Club, I hope you will show the grace and compassion that you refuse to demonstrate, as it is an indescribable and most days unbearable pain. It has been a pleasure, my friends. In announcing she would not seek re-election last fall, Whitcomb said she would be moving to her retirement home in Arizona after finishing my current term. Later in the fall, Whitcomb denied rumors that she had already moved out of the county, which would have disqualified her from holding office, as her home in Paxton was listed for sale. Once the house is sold, Whitcomb said, she planned to rent a room in Ford County from her aunt until I resign. Since then, though, Whitcomb has reportedly been routinely absent from her office for extended periods, with some residents questioning whether she is still working for the county full-time or even still living in the county. Whitcomb's stint as treasurer came after she taught K-12 mathematics in Milford for 12 years and spent 17 years in financial management consulting. Whitcomb grew up in Paxton, where she raised her son Parker and maintains an active role in the family business, Paxton Ready Mix. It has been a great honor to serve my hometown community the past 8 years, Whitcomb said last fall. And right below that article on the front page, we have another article with a headline, Interim Treasurer to be named in April. Taylor Burnett says she's interested in filling in as interim treasurer before being elected. Paxton. Taylor Burnett said Tuesday that she is interested in being appointed to fill the Ford County Treasurer's role when the position becomes vacant upon Treasurer Chrisha Whitcomb's April 10th resignation. The county board made plans Monday night to approve the appointment of an interim county treasurer at the board's regular monthly meeting on Monday, April 13th. First, though, the board plans to meet in special session on the evening of Friday, April 10th, to formally declare the vacancy, after which Chairman Chase McCall is required to alert the chairman of the county's Republican and Democratic Central Committees. The interim treasurer would serve through Monday, November 30th, the day before Burnett fills the treasurer's office for the next 4 years. Burnett, a deputy clerk in the treasurer's office since last June, is unopposed in the March Republican primary and November general elections to replace Whitcomb. As the only candidate running, Burnett is expected to be the favorite to land the interim gig. Whitcomb, who has served as treasurer since 2018 and did not seek a third term last fall, has endorsed Burnett's candidacy to replace her, noting last fall that Burnett was already doing an exceptional job learning the duties of the office and will be an excellent Ford County treasurer. Burnett is a Paxton native who graduated from Paxton Buckley Loda High School and has previous experience in finance working at the Frederick Community Bank and the former Farmers Merchants National Bank of Illinois, both in Paxton. She worked at the Frederick Community Bank both during and after high school. I have 10 years of experience in the banking industry, Burnett said last fall. This experience allowed me to build a strong foundation in financial management, budgeting, and customer service. I have also had the privilege of serving under the current Ford County Treasurer, where I've gained valuable hands-on experience in county finance operations, tax collections, and responsible management of public funds. This background has prepared me to step into the role of treasurer with the knowledge, integrity, and dedication our county deserves. Burnett noted that she will commit to ensuring transparency, accountability, and smart decision-making, not just for today, but for the collective future of our county. Ford County deserves a government in which county officials and board members work together in unity and cooperation, Burnett said. Not only will I work to achieve that unity, but I also promise to be engaged with you, the citizens of Ford County. I will not only work for you, but will work with you. Burnett was married in 2021 to Justin Burnett. She has three stepsons, Kyler, Connor, and Casey, and a daughter, Collins. Burnett is daughter of Gary and Tammy Glazik, who are part owners of Plastic Designs Incorporated of Paxton. She has three siblings, Shannon, Travis, and Aubrey. Ford County is home to my family, she said. Ford County has always been home to me. It's where I grew up, built my career, and formed lifelong relationships with the people who make this community so special. Turning back to the front page, we have from Gibson City, Church set to close, be turned into community health center. Congregation votes to start the process required to close the historical Gibson City Church. Gibson City. The First Presbyterian Church at 401 North Church Street in Gibson City is closing and being sold to Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services. Members of the congregation recently voted to start the process required to close their church ministry due to declining membership, according to a March 6th news release from the church. The elders will be working with our presbytery as they bring forth a ministry transition team to provide spiritual care to members of the church and fiduciary trustees who will assist the elders with concluding property issues, the release said. It is the church members' desire to see their legacy continue in the future, so the elders are in negotiations with the board of Gibson Area Hospital regarding the ownership transfer of the church building to the hospital for a community health center of some kind, the release continued. The hospital has noted that they desire to also recognize the historical significance of the Presbyterian Church in Gibson City. Gibson Area Hospital spokesman Josh Johnson had no immediate comment on the hospital's plans for the property. We have no comment at the current time, Johnson said in an email Saturday, as we work through the process with the Presbyterian Church. The cornerstone of the existing church structure was laid during a ceremony on September 5, 1902. A kitchen was added in 1948, and its fellowship hall was completed in 1971. The church has 66 stained glass windows throughout the building. In addition to numerous weddings, baptisms, and funerals celebrated at the church, it has served as an election polling place for years and hosted numerous blood drives. Also, several community improvement programs were started at the church and continue today, including the McCormick Tutoring Program, the CAPS After School Kids Program, and the Gibson Area Housing Rehab Foundation. In addition, a Head Start program was housed for many years at the church. The church's mission program over the last 5 years has helped over 1,500 local individuals, groups, clubs, organizations, as well as many worldwide needs, said the news release, which added that the church was awarded the Gibson Area Chamber of Commerce's Lifetime Achievement Award in March 2023 for its work in the community. When the church's final service will be held will be announced at a later date. Also, a celebration is being planned by the church to honor the past, to recognize the ministry, and to share the planned legacy to come in the future, the news release said. And lastly on the front page, also from Gibson City, organizers tell of upcoming events in town. Summer Bash, Harvest Fest, America 250 on tap. Gibson City. Monday night's Gibson City Council meeting was awash with organizers outlining plans for upcoming downtown public events and requesting monetary support. Bill Kirby, Director of Employee and Community Events for Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services, presented highlights of the upcoming annual GAH Summer Bash. Music will be provided by opener Night Ranger ahead of the lead entertainer, Rick Springfield. Kirby said the August 15th event will offer a change in that both bands will play full sets. Council members approved a $15,000 contribution to support the event. Resident Billy Joe Denny detailed the Gibson Area Chamber of Commerce's plans for the annual Harvest Fest event set for September 11th to 12th. Denny presented data showing the event's annual cost has been well over $80,000 and as much as $100,000. She requested the city contribute $20,000 towards expenses, but the council decided to contribute $15,000. The approved amount, however, reflect a $5,000 increase over the council's contribution in 2025. Alderman Susie Tongeat and Matthew Burns, Executive Director of the Greater Gibson Area Economic Alliance, spoke of plans for the community to observe America 250 with activities on July 11th and 12th, a variety of patriotic observances, live music, and a Sunday patriotic hymn festival are among the plans. The celebration may include a ribbon cutting for the Lot District, a special designation and branding for the historic downtown area. With details still in development, a request for city funding may be made later. The pair also recommended the city join 16 other Central Illinois communities at no cost to become an Illinois 250 community. In other business, during Monday night's county board meeting, the council approved Mayor Dan Dickey's appointment of Landon Lage as junior alderman. City Clerk Carla McGrew then administered the oath of office to Lage, who was immediately seated. Lage is an honor roll student at Gibson City Melvin Sibley High School, where he is captain of the wrestling team, a member of the Future Business Leaders of America, and is a member of the student council. He is the son of Samantha Lage and Andrew Lage of Gibson City. Street Superintendent Tyler Martin presented costs to move a 30-by-60-foot shed from east of the current pool to the city's water treatment plant. Council members approved a bid of $12,500 from Delbert Bruins of Midwest Structural Solutions of Paxton for the materials and labor to move the shed and set it on a new foundation. The 6-inch concrete foundation set on 32-inch piers with approach will be prepared by Getty Landscaping of Colfax for $29,024. Martin said the foundation's quality will allow the four-season use of the shed for storage and maintenance. The total cost of $41,524 is approved to be funded from the Build Gibson City Pool Fund of just over $42,000. The fund originally was set up by the city to deposit early donations toward a new pool. Wastewater Superintendent John Bobera said he received an offer to purchase 2 unused pieces of sludge equipment that he thought to sell for scrap metal. Alderman approved declaring the 2 items to be surplus equipment and to place a for sale listing on Facebook to see if additional offers are made. Resident Lynn Zumwalt asked for an update on allowing golf carts to be used on the 2 to 3 blocks along Illinois 47 that would be needed to reach the part of Gibson City where golf carts are already legal for street use. City Attorney Mark Miller said the request is in the hands of the Illinois Department of Transportation, which is studying a lower speed limit for that section of highway as a precursor to the request. Miller said he checked last month but has no idea of any IDOT decision yet. And an executive session was added to the agenda to discuss litigation. No action was taken afterward. Turning to the inside of the paper, we have an article entitled, Paxton Woman Still Missing After 19 Years. Rantoul. Tuesday, March 10th marked 19 years since Jamie Harper was last seen. In the early morning hours of Saturday, March 10th, 2007, a then 20-year-old Harper mysteriously disappeared after attending a party in the Maplewood Estates trailer park on Rantoul's north side. Harper was last seen carrying a black leather handbag with 1 or 2 straps and was wearing a white jacket, blue jeans, and black knee-high zipper-sided boots and possibly a necklace with J on it when she left her home in Paxton on the night of Friday, March 9, 2007, to attend the party. Harper is 5 feet tall and 130 pounds with brown hair and brown eyes. Her ears are pierced and she has a pierced left nostril. She has a tattoo of a tribal design on the small of her back. She would be 39 years old today. Anyone with information about Harper's disappearance is asked to call the Paxton Police Department, the Rantoul Police Department, Champaign County Crime Stoppers, or Ford County Crime Stoppers. And informants may choose to remain anonymous. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle, and since we did not have a reading last week, we'll begin with the obituaries from March 4th. We begin Thomas E. Baker, Paxton. U.S. Army Sergeant First Class, retired, Thomas E. Baker, 75, of Paxton, died at 10:40 p.m. Monday, February 23rd at the VA Valley House in Danville. Funeral services were held Wednesday, March 4th at the Bayer Family Funeral Services in Paxton with Chaplain Rita Manning officiating. Burial with full military honors followed at the Danville National Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the family to be used for the benefit of the Community Living Center, Valor House of the Danville VA, or to the Ministry of Hooves of Hope in Potomac. Anita During, Rantoul. Anita Chileski During, 96, of Rantoul, died at 8:02 p.m. Saturday, February 21st, at the Villas of Hollybrook in Rantoul. A mass of Christian burial was Tuesday, March 3rd, at the St. Malachy Catholic Church in Rantoul, with Fathers Joel Phelps and John Verrier officiating. Memorials, made contributions in her name, may be made to the St. Dominic Hall Capital Campaign at the St. Malachy Catholic Church in Rantoul. Judith F. Glasscock, Gibson City. Judith Fay, Judy Glasscock, 86, of Gibson City, died Wednesday, February 25th at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. Funeral services were held Wednesday, March 4th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Burial took place at the Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contribution may be made to Friends of the Moyer District Library, St. Peter's Free Lutheran Church of Melbourne, or the Gibson City United Methodist Church. Charlene C. Hall, Champaign. Charlene C. Hall, 81, of Champaign, died Thursday, February 26th at Haven of Meadowbrook in Champaign. A celebration of her life will be held at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made to the family. Curtis J. Lindsay, Gibson City. Curtis James Lindsay, 18, of Gibson City, died Thursday, February 26th at the Iroquois Memorial Hospital in Watseka with his family at his side. A private family service will be held. Memorial contributions may be made to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Children's Habilitation Center, or the Iroquois Memorial Hospice. Mark S. Stuckey, Piper City. Mark S. Stuckey, 75, of Piper City, died Saturday, February 21st at his daughter's home in Seneca. A private graveside service will be at Brenton Township Cemetery in Piper City. Memorial contributions may be made to the Tri Point High School FFA program. Beverly A. Cooper, Paxton. Beverly Ann Cooper, 87, of Paxton, died at 9:34 a.m. Sunday, March 1st at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, surrounded by her family. Funeral services were held Friday, March 6th at the Full Gospel Christian Fellowship in Paxton with the Reverend Ken Young officiating. Burial followed in Grandview Memorial Gardens in Champaign. Memorials may be made to Full Gospel Christian Fellowship in Paxton. Those are all the obituaries from March 4th. Now, the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for March 11th. Mark Bailey, Thawville. Mark Bailey, 66, of Thawville, died Monday, March 2nd. Funeral services were held Tuesday, March 10th at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Thawville with the Reverend Brian King officiating. Burial followed at Ridgeland Township Cemetery in Thawville. Memorials may be made to St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Thawville or to the American Cancer Society. William Broerman, and that's spelled B-R-O-E-R-M-A-N, Hillsboro, Ohio. William J. Broerman, 82, of Hillsboro, Ohio, died Saturday, February 28th at Hillsboro Health and Rehab. Per his wishes, no services will be held. Contributions in his memory may be made to the Sierra Club. Brian W. Decker, Muhammad. Brian W. Decker, 64, of Muhammad, died Friday, February 27th at Arcadia Care in Watseka. A graveside service will be held at a later date. Memorial contributions can be made to Vitas Hospice Care. Vernon L. Fry, Piper City. Vernon L. Fry, 89, of Piper City, died Wednesday, March 4th at his home. A private graveside service will be held at a later date at the Prairie Dell Cemetery near Iroquois. Memorials may be given to an organization of the donor's choice. Wayne E. Mathis, Rantoul. Wayne E. Mathis, 88, of Rantoul, died Saturday, March 7th. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon, Saturday, March 14th, at Bayer Family Funeral Services in Paxton. Burial will follow immediately after at the Rankin Union Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Gibson City Corn Belt Shrine Club. Jesus Sandoval, Onarga. Jesus Sandoval, 79, of Onarga, died Sunday, March 1st at his son's home in Onarga. A funeral mass was held at noon Friday, March 13th at the Immaculate Conception Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church in Gilman. Memorials may be made to the family wishes. Wanda J. Tarnowski, Roberts. Wanda J. Tarnowski, 89, of Roberts, died Friday, March 6th at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City, surrounded by her family. Funeral services were held Thursday, March 12th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Burial followed at Lyman Township Cemetery in Roberts. Memorial contributions may be made to the Lee Lowry American Legion Post No. 568 in Gibson City or to the Gibson Area Hospital Foundation. Returning to the news, we have from the Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services, under new naming rights deal, it'll be Gibson Area Hospital Arena at Gordyville. Gifford. When the philanthropic crew from the Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services pulls up next to next month's Kicking Cancer event outside Gifford, they'll feel right at home. The wildly popular dinner and auction will take place at the Gibson Area Hospital Arena at Gordyville. Signage, as a result of the new naming rights agreement, will go up soon. They're a great partner. Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services Chief Executive Officer Rob Schmidt said of Gordyville, home to Kicking Cancer since 2018 and host to 50-plus events each year. Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services is once again the premier sponsor for Kicking Cancer, which last year drew a crowd of 1,700 and since 2013 has raised a remarkable $3,122,039. Illinois coach Brad Underwood will announce guests in the coming weeks for the April 15th celebration. The fit is perfect for Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services in that you're raising funds for cancer research, Schmidt said. We're proud to sponsor Coach Underwood and his efforts. A lifelong Illini fan and season ticket holder, Schmidt is hoping the coach has a long NCAA tournament run to discuss when he takes the stage. They have the firepower to do it, he said. I keep reading they're a dark horse to win it all, and they certainly have a shot if they play their game. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle.